This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, our next story is also a complex conversation. It's coming after senior pediatrician Dr. Irene Chia has made this observation that it's when parents treat their children as property, it can potentially lead to child abuse.
Dr. Irene heads the suspected child abuse and neglect team in Kuala Lumpur Hospital, and she observed that this was more often than not the case. She said that parents with the mindset of, all right, it is my right to do as I will, leads to the abuse of their children. She clarified she's not saying that all parents are bad and added that, of course, we all love our children and we try our best, but we still expect our children to listen to us.
So children are, of course, young, dependent on their carers. And if their carers are not loving and abusive, then there is still love. But that love would be out of fear. This is according, of course, to the doctor in question. And aside from physical abuse, she noted the occurrence of sexual abuse by carers, saying that when children had less rights and were seen as property, then that is where that possibility of incest occurs as well.
So she posts the statement, you know, many times people ask, how can a father molest or rape his own child? This is because sometimes the mentality is that his child is his property.
She also said that child abuse stemmed from a lack of parenting skills, citing the practice of physical discipline. And she said it's, you know, it turns into this perception that it's okay to beat children in school and at home if they're naughty. And then she asks, though, what is naughty, the definition of naughty? Because parents then become stressed, they beat their children for no other reason, and that's when discipline becomes physical abuse. And like we said, there are a lot of things to discuss here, but the main thing that jumped out at me anyway was that notion that, yes, sometimes
children are viewed as property.
Yes, and it comes in ways both big and small. I mean, I think that that point about sometimes do this because I say so.
Yeah.
You know, it negates the will of the child. And I understand, of course, that you can't just give in to your child any moment. Then they would eat all the sugar and never sleep. You know, that there are very like real practical parenting things that need to be taken care of. But that mindset, it was just a very interesting statement and we wanted to interrogate that. So we'll be speaking with Tan Cheng Yi, educational psychologist, right after this. You can also weigh in on the conversation. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
This is the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are talking about, an article that put forth the statement from senior pediatrician Dr. Irene Chia, which is that when parents treat their children as property, it can potentially lead to child abuse. We wanted to understand that more from a psychological point of view. So let's cross over now to educational psychologist Tan Cheng Yi. Cheng Yi, thank you for joining us. So let's look at that statement right away. What do you think? Is it common for parents to think of their children as property?
It might come across that way, but it's probably because they forget in the times when they are really angry and are losing it, that they forget that their children have thoughts and feelings, and there may be consequences, longer-term consequences to their behaviour.
Do you think that it's this type of thinking that can eventually lead to abuse?
So, yeah, I think there's a lot of underlying factors as to why abuse may happen. I think, for instance, you know, unhappiness is one of them. So unhappiness may be a mental health issue due to stress or a loss of control in their jobs and, you know, the everyday life, or just a marital breakdown. And that can actually lead parents to feeling really desperate. And when a child misbehaves, it could just be a triggering point. So I think it may be bigger than just looking at a person as an object. Another thing is, I think it also could be like faulty thinking. So their parenting style is also shaped by how they were brought up. So it could be a parenting that has gone wrong. I mean, they themselves may have suffered abuse in the hands of their own parents, or they've seen it role model. And when they have children of their own, they might not know of any other way of doing it apart from what has been done to them. Another thing is that it could be lacking parenting skills, so they don't know what else to do. And I think many of us, I mean, I'm a parent myself, and my parenting journey is only 15 years. I'm a child and educational psychologist, and I struggle. I am still learning. So I think there are no natural born parents, and each of us have to learn along the way. And sometimes out of lack of maybe exposure and not knowing what to do, I think, yeah, these are some of the factors that can push us over the edge if we're not careful.
Would you describe parenting as, I guess, being a power struggle of sorts? I mean, when might that power struggle go dangerously off balance? And I ask because in the article, Dr. Irene Chia said that sexual abuse to a young child is, you know, mostly a power thing. It's not all sexual.
Yeah, in relation to power struggle, I think it's very easy for the parent to think that they are a person in authority and they, therefore they have control or they should have control over the child. And I think if we have the kind of mindset that, you know, we are the ones that always be right and they should follow us, period, no negotiations, then I think we might be in for a trouble because the children, they are just little people. They can have minds of their own, especially children these days. You know, they know a lot of things and they're exposed to more things than we were when we were growing up. And sometimes we are at our wits' end trying to get them to comply to what we are doing. But I think if we remember that, you know, children also like to be respected, just as we like to be respected, we should have that mindset that we need to, you know, use a problem-solving approach with children, that there isn't just a one-sided thing. If you think that it is one-sided, again, that's the danger that, you know, I'm right and you are wrong. But it should be a mindset that we both try and solve these issues together, and being the more supposedly mature person, the adult, emotionally and knowing more, you know, I think the responsibility really rests with the adult to help that young child to come to that realization what is the responsible thing to do and not force it upon the child, because then that will be that resentment if they find that, you know, everything that they do, they have to comply without any room for negotiation.
And I suppose with parenting, those negotiations are rarely a straightforward or quick process. If children still defy parental instruction or misbehave, it might be tempting to instruct them to comply because of, you know, our position of authority in their lives. Is this ever a fair or acceptable approach?
No, I think you have to approach parenting as a relationship. You know, in a relationship, you need both sides for it to work. So when you think of your relationship with your child, it's something that you develop over time, and you go in with trying to develop trust with your child. So there are moments where, you know, you have to stand firm. So when we try to set boundaries, on the one hand, we do have to be firm and consistent with what we say. So when they step out of the boundary, there is then, you know, that consequence that it has to be to the same extent to, you know, how much they've stepped out of the boundary, and also to the level of the, you know, the child's understanding and the child's age. So in setting boundaries, don't be afraid to do that because children need that. But in order to do that, it's making the child understand that you're doing that because you want to protect them and that you're doing it out of love and you're not doing it out of frustration or to get them to comply in a forceful way. Is never about getting back at the child, because sometimes, you know, as parents, we can be childish, you know, it becomes tit for tat. Children need to understand and that you're doing it to teach them values, and that when they step out of boundaries, there are consequences, because in society, that's also the same. You know, there are consequences for behaviors. If you park in the wrong place on the yellow line, you may be slapped a fine. This always happens in Malaysia, but, you know what I'm trying to get at. So that is the mindset that you go into. You want to build that trust, because as the more knowing adult, you're guiding them through life, and you know, you're teaching them how to live responsibly as a person in a society. So it has to be well balanced equally, that you also praise them so that they understand that you are not just picking on them whenever they do anything wrong, because that can then, you know, become resentment, and they need encouragement just as much as they need consequences.
So what is that age where parents really have to start thinking of their children as beings and people with the right to make their own decisions?
I think it's from birth. Because I think children have got ways of communicating with their parents that you can communicate through your body language. Like, for instance, when a child has had enough milk to drink, they will automatically stop sucking or turn away when you are trying to engage with the child, you know, doing the goo goo gaga turn-taking. When they have had enough, they also will turn away from you. And so I think that's where you respect that, you know, okay, you know, you've had enough and enough milk, so I'm not going to force you to drink anymore. That's a signal that, you know, that you are communicating to me your needs. But I think parents, of course, need to adjust. As the child grows up, it has to be reasonable with the child's ability to understand what is their right. And I might have said this before, that, you know, that you teach what is their right and what is your right, and what, in the context of being that responsible individual, that when you're exercising your rights, that you don't take away somebody else's rights. So I think as a parent, that's your role. It's not about giving in to the child and say that, yeah, if you want this, then I give it to you. You know, that would just be indulging the child. But having the discretion and making good, common sense decisions when you come to what is right. And, you know, sometimes children, these days especially, they have a lot to say about what they want and how they want it. And, you know, what present I want, how I want my birthday, and which school do I want to go to. They have a lot of opinions. But I think you have to take it in the context of that child's ability to understand what they're saying, and to help them to actually know when their rights cannot be fulfilled, and to reason with them and to help them understand it from their perspective. And it's not just a no and yes, because I think by having a more responsive approach to our children's needs, we make them better, more resilient, and they're better at problem solving when it comes to future problems.
So when it comes to a relationship between parents and child, what rights do both parties have?
I think parents, first of all, have to understand their roles as parents. Children are not ours to own and to possess, or to have children fulfill our own desires for things. For instance, I want my child to have a string of A's. We raise them up so that they can then have that responsible freedom to be who they are meant to be. So we mold the talents that they have, and we try to compensate for their weaknesses, but not necessarily our right is that, you know, you're going to fulfill what I feel your duty is to me. I suppose every parent would want their child to be obedient, and in our culture especially, to be filial. And we feel that as parents, we have got that expectation. I'm not sure if the word right is correct. I think there's an expectation that when we bring them up, that they would also want to love us back, and they won't leave us and not care for us, and that they will be filial. And those kind of values, I think, it's not something that you can force, but you pray and you try your best as parents that, you know, when you've done all those things, that those values that you're expecting from them will come back to you. I think that's always the wish and hope of every parent, and I don't think it is wrong to expect that. As opposed to a child, I think they have that expectation, or they should have that, maybe that right even, to say that, yeah, as a parent, you should protect me and nurture me and lead me into the right path of understanding and navigating this world, that as your child, I will feel safe around you, I can trust you, and that you will provide for me. Parents are not perfect people, so some of us actually fail, or we make mistakes, but I think children should also have the understanding that there is always that chance, it's both sides, right, for resolution, to make up for things. In times where parents have made mistakes or children have made mistakes, there must always be room that, you know, we can repair this together, we can work on this together. It's a very two-way thing, I feel, parent-child relationship. And if we focus on that relationship, then I think chances are that you have got it right.
Cheng Yi, thank you so much for your thoughts. That was child and educational psychologist Dan Cheng Yi speaking about some of the rights and boundaries that exist between parent and child. And on that note, CW says, I'm a parent of a four-year-old boy. He generally makes a lot of his own decisions, including what he would like to eat. All we do is teach him what's good and what helps him grow bigger and what makes him unwell. He sometimes wants sugar, but generally he chooses healthy meals. Trust your child more and magic happens.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, that was a very, very sweet message. Thanks for sending that in, CW. Let us know, you know, when it comes to parenting your children, how much of that decision making do you give up? And when they, oh, well, quote unquote, I guess, defy you, how likely are you to say something like, listen to me because I am your mother? Talk to us about those kinds of parenting decisions. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now, here is a track by Joe Tex, I Gotcha, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.